Michigan spends nearly $2 billion a year on corrections. That means we pump more money into prisons than into higher education. And Michigan keeps its prisoners behind bars longer than the national average. Both liberal and conservative voices are asking, are we getting a safer state for all that money? Are there different approaches to prisons and corrections that could offer answers? My next guest recently wrote a piece for Next City that could shed some light on those questions. Its title, Can Europe Offer the U.S. a Model for Prison Reform? Christopher Moreff joins us now. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.
You dive into the approaches specifically taken in Germany and the Netherlands to corrections and to prisons. Can you tell us basically the fundamental difference in the primary goal of corrections in Germany and the Netherlands compared to here in the U.S.?
Sure. So in the Netherlands and in Germany, there is more of an effort to re-socialize offenders back into society. So the purpose of corrections is much more rehabilitative and, diverting people into the community, whereas U.S. corrections is very incarceration-focused in both the sentencing side and the way people are treated after they're convicted and once they're in jail in Europe, specifically in Germany and the Netherlands. There are many more alternatives to incarceration that are explored, so there's a much greater use of fines and diversion. Much fewer inmates actually wind up in prison, but also what happens to them there is much different. The focus is on normalization. So in neither of those countries, in Germany or the Netherlands, is the sole purpose of incarceration to protect society. That's written in law. There is an effort to create a normalized set of circumstances to mimic community life as much as possible, to re-socialize offenders for when they are ultimately released, which 95% of offenders in America and in Europe will eventually be.
Well, then, for the inmates who are behind bars in Germany and the Netherlands, describe for us how the actual prisons and the life of the inmates differ from your typical U.S. prison. First, the design of the prisons.
Sure. Well, I should preface that the information I'm giving you now is from a 2013 report from the Vera Institute of Justice, who coordinated a trip with corrections officials from Pennsylvania, Colorado, and Georgia, a nine-day trip to a fact-finding trip to these countries. So, first of all, the layout of prisons are much different. I mean, to quote one source who was on the trip, it felt more college dormitory than what we think of as a penitentiary. There's a much more liberal use of what they call open facilities over there, which allow at least some limited interaction with the community, either through work release or family visits. Inmates are allowed to wear their own clothes. They are allowed to decorate their own cells. Guards knock before they enter. So there's an attempt to at least instill a sense of privacy and humanity. Because when you dehumanize somebody, again, if we make the goal resocialization, dehumanization is not the right way to go about that. And I think one of the most important things that I learned is that prisoners in Europe are allowed to vote the entire time they're in prison, which is telling. It's an example of wanting people to be engaged in their community. When you go to jail in America, that's not the case. And in fact, some felons have to fight for their right to vote when they get out.
And the idea that weekend home visits are a possibility and keeping the family connections close, it seems that the philosophy is that is very, very important in lowering recidivism.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the data has played this out. I mean, people that are engaged in their communities and with their families are much more likely to be rehabilitated. Those kinds of intimate connections are an important part of society and of socializing somebody away from a criminal past. So there are weekend visits with family. It's almost like sort of a reverse work release program, as one source described it to me. And it's actually something that at least this particular source in Colorado thinks could work here with some lower level offenders.
Tell us about the staff at these Dutch and German prisons and how they differ from the U.S. In terms of what they are and their training.
Yeah, so for the most part, people that are, employed in these facilities or in correctional positions have a background either in the law, in mental health, in counseling. So they've been trained with the types of skills that will allow them to impart a therapeutic message to the people that they oversee. They're not just people guards, just there to keep people from fighting, or, you know, make sure everybody's there with a head count. I mean, there's a level of professionalism and a level of training that goes with this that is unlike anything that we have in America. And that there is a push since this trip in at least Pennsylvania and Colorado to sort of instill some of these conflict resolution skills and counseling skills into the CO population. It's not like we can go through and replace everyone with, you know, with an attorney or something.
Or a social worker, yeah.
Exactly. But they, at least Colorado and Pennsylvania, have both started programs to sort of retrain some of their facility staff on the skills that they need. So, again, it goes back to this idea of limiting the adversarial relationship between inmate and guard. I mean, when you put somebody into a very bleak, sort of like controlled environment, you know, a microcosm that is adversarial and you know, and dark and cold and not anything like the community, and then you expect to release them back into the community and behave themselves, it just seems counterintuitive. And I think Europe has figured that out.
I'm speaking with writer Christopher Moreff, whose piece in Next City asks the question, can Europe offer the U.S. a model for prison reform? And you just touched on this, Christopher. You were saying not all European prisons are this way. I happen to know England's and Ireland's, for instance. Those countries have some pretty grim lockups. So this is not Europe across the board, is it?
Right. It's again, we're dealing with two very specific progressive countries. And I can't speak individually to
sure,
say Spain or Italy or places like that. But like you said, yes. I mean, in Ireland and the UK, I mean, they are much more reflective of our model of corrections. But there are progressive, forward-thinking countries that have been doing this. I mean, Germany's prison law was written, I believe, in the 70s, and the Netherlands has been incorporating fines for a majority of offenses. You know, even murder technically could have a fine. There is the discretion to have that since the 80s. So, you know, we're not talking about changes that were just made. I mean, they've had success with this over the years.
And how has this therapeutic approach versus punishment, how has that affected recidivism rates and crime rates in Germany and the Netherlands?
Yeah, that's a tricky question to answer because recidivism is really hard to measure across jurisdictions. Things that, you know, like, for instance, we may see like a technical parole violation as a reoffense, whereas in Germany and the Netherlands, like, that might not be counted as necessarily a reoffense. So being able to match the recidivism rates is tough. But there is a culture of the culture around criminal justice in both those countries. There is more of like, a shame attached to prison and to committing crimes. And people do tend to be more likely to reenter the community and not reoffend.
An interesting piece from writer Christopher Moreff. It's in Next City, and it's entitled, Can Europe Offer the U.S. a Model for Prison Reform? Christopher, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Cindy.